Yeah, this one finally swam away. We were watching it with the light, but it definitely wasn't handled like an expert, but it's the first one. I didn't realize how sharp they were, so that kind of like messed me up a little bit. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, them little ones are hard to handle. You could probably grab their tail and then put your hand underneath their two dorsal fins.
Good morning. Zero, zero hours.
You might not
mostly
get
cloudy.
Ripped up, but I usually get the rubber-coated gloves. You'll see them a lot of times at a gas station and stuff. They'll do pretty good.
Cool. It uploaded the telegram.
Oh, yeah, he's good. He's swimming. Even though he's at the top, he's swimming. So a lot of times he'll go belly up, and then you gotta worry about him. But he's swimming. That's cool, man. Yeah, you are in a low current. I mean, I could tell there's a current, but it's pretty slow. It's interesting. You must have some kind of a current break in front of you, either from the hole or from a curve.
Yeah, I was expecting it to be a little stronger, but. Yeah, it's definitely not that bad. I mean, you can't walk the weight back very far, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I seen a fish fly floating in that video too. And I actually had I had real bright lights on my big boat, and all the fish flies are falling in the water, and I had a big sturgeon, probably about 60-65 inches, come up to the top of the water and turn sideways and eat a fish fly. So they could be doing that too. All the ones you're hearing at the top that are, spelunking.
Yeah, I hope I don't see them eating a fly. I may have to bring my fly rod out here.
I don't think they'd do it on a regular basis, but if I wouldn't have seen it with my own eyes, I wouldn't believe that sturgeon would eat fish flies off the top, but they do. W-H-C-P-T.
So the smaller fish jumping sturgeon, I don't know what they are. I was able to get light on one, and its eye was, like, red. But the shape of the fish looked strange to me.
Man, I hope them Asian carp aren't in there.
Yeah, it wasn't like a carp-looking fish. It was a little bit longer. You know, with the way the eye was lighting up, I'm like, yeah, maybe it's a walleye, but I don't know any walleye with a red eye. So it was a little bit strange. I couldn't get to the net because it did come next to my boat. But, yeah, I'm going to keep an eye out for him.
It might be smallmouth bass. They got red eyes sometimes. Or rock bass, even. Maybe there's if there's enough of them fish flies, they're hatching and they're eating them.
Yeah, that's right. Smallmouth do have red eyes. That's what it could be. You have to keep an eye out for it as they're jumping. See if I can get my light on another one.
If you get a chance, zoom in where you're at a little bit closer, but try to still show like the whole channel, and send me a picture. I'm curious where you're at, that it's that slow, but I want to see the zoomed in a little bit more to see if there's like a current break. Are you like around a small corner or something?
I'm probably 50 yards from the no wake, the start of the no wake. Whoa, that was a big one.
That's awesome. I could tell. I heard one of your kids first. Was it behind the boat? Hopefully it was.
No, it was in front of the boat. Probably over my anchor.
Okay, so you're downstream of that first no wake buoy then?
Yeah, basically I drove through the no wake zone. I'll do is I'll turn on Google Map and I'll text you my GPS coordinates.
Okay, so you're downstream of the downstream noise, do you then?
Yeah, just downstream. And this is a spot you marked. You put it in my GPS the day you came over.
Okay, cool. I'm looking at the map you sent me, and I kind of got an idea, but I don't, that's why, yeah, do that with the Google Maps, just to give me an idea. Just make sure you don't put it visible on Google Maps, and make sure if you save it on Google Maps, you, save it for yourself only, private, make it private.
Alright, I pulled the coordinates off of ONX. That's what I texted you.
Okay, so, yeah, alright. Yeah, I think that buoy you're at the beginning of the noise. If you go downstream, there'll be another one. You see how it's dark on that picture you just sent me? That's all, like, swamp area. That's where that dude in the pond helped Doom Boat went in there and got stuck.
Oh, yeah, I was down this way last year during the day, and, I learned real quick, don't go over there. I wasn't paying attention. I was like, oh, boy, need to get out of here.
Yeah, and if you go upstream, back, you know, back the way you're going, if you turn to the left and go down the north channel, real close, pretty far out from shore there, actually. It's really shallow there, too, so... in that spot, I'll always go out around that buoy. I think there's a red buoy blink in there or something. If I'm going to go downstream in the north channel, I'll go around that buoy and get out toward the middle of the channel, especially at night, because it's really shallow. I was on plane once, and I cut that corner, and it was bad. I slowed right down, and I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, out here at night, I take my time. I just watch the GPS close and definitely not in a hurry. And these boats that keep coming by, I mean, they're doing 40 miles an hour. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and you're pretty much in the right spot, too, where you might just be a little bit closer in the shore, and that's why it's a little bit slower. But that's not a bad thing. Because that means you're in a current break, and there'll be a lot of bait fish and stuff gathering up at the bottom down there. So, cool. Yeah, I think that's the beginning of the noise. So, everybody that's going downstream, that's bigger than 25 foot, should be slowing down when they get to that buoy. And if they're going upstream, they should be going slow until they get to you.
Well, when I was coming in, I passed the blinking buoy, and there was a boat coming upstream by the light that's blinking in front of me now, and he slowed right down when he went through here, so I feel like this is like I'm just outside of it, because I drove past a blinking buoy when I was coming downstream, and then this was the second one that I drove to.
Yeah, but was that first blinking one, like, in the north channel, or right near it?
Yeah, it was in the middle. It was definitely in the middle channel. And I don't even see the buoys. It isn't even marked on my maps here on my GPS for some reason.
Yeah, them no-wake buoys, I don't think they are on there. And they're usually not lit either, so if there's something lit on them now, that's actually a plus, because... Normally, you'd just be looking for them if you know they're there, and you hope you don't bump into them. I don't think it would do much damage because it's just like a floating beach ball or something, but still.
Yeah, I don't know. Thinking about heading over to the North Channel, see if I can't get in over by the boat launch there, try for a little bit, and then duck out of here. I probably got about another hour left in me, that's about it.
Yeah, it's hard to say how many people will still be out there. And a lot of people know it's a nighttime deal and they stay out late. But if someone's in that spot that I was telling you about where that white bench is, you can always, when you go straight out of the boat launch and you got that big drop off real quick, go upstream of the boat launch just a little bit and stay on the deeper side of that drop off, and I've done pretty good there too.
Man, it's crazy the speed these boats are driving down this channel. It's nuts.
Oh yeah, and if they're fishermen, then usually, you know, they know what they're doing, and you can see because there's a full moon. But the ones that scare me are the ones that were out partying all day, and they think they're sober enough to head back in now, and they're not. And a lot of those bigger boats have autopilot, and they can backtrack. So they'll put it in autopilot backtrack to get home, and they don't realize that there might be somebody anchored that wasn't there when they went out, you know. You're not answering. I hope you got one of them.
Sorry, the boat's so loud, I didn't hear anything. KEATFM. I'm uploading a short clip of it on Telegram.
Ah, bummer. I thought you didn't answer because you were grabbing a rod.
Any cigarette boats, they have the, the exhaust, it's not through the water, you know, and it's loud as can be until they're completely around the corner.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. I don't know if I could ride in one all day with them being that loud unless the sound is not as bad in the boat because, you know, it's behind you.
I got my skippers checking baits now. Make sure everything's good. I'll be back. We just caught a sucker.
All right. Sometimes we'll cut them up and use them as bait, but it might work, it might not.
All right. Well, that was exciting. KEATFM.
All right. Yeah, you're gonna have a hard time getting a big one in the boat. You might have to just grab a hold of its tail and take the hook out. I know I grab the tail sometimes and lift them in the boat, you know, but I can't believe the net broke. That's crazy. Good job, guys.
No, it looked ridiculous, but we just got the sucker, and as we were letting the sucker go, that line took off, and it was really fighting. This one definitely put up a good fight. He kept running on us, and for Colton and Davey and each boat of the sturgeon, that was pretty awesome. And then the sucker, we didn't even know we had. We were just checking bait, and it happened to be on the line.
Yeah, sometimes the sturgeon will do that too. They'll pick up the bait and they'll have it in their mouth and the hook will get stuck and they just sit there, and then when they move upstream, it looks like maybe, you know, you're just getting little nibbles or something and actually you've actually got the sturgeon on there and he's already hooked. Sometimes they don't take off right away.
Yeah, each time they were on, they were kind of pulling the line, and I just let them chew on it a little bit and gave it a good tug, and yeah, that was it. These hooks are awesome that you gave me. I mean, those things, they set, like, no problem.
Yep, I try to recommend them to everybody, and a lot of people think the circle hooks are better, and they're not, man. The way that sturgeon's mouth is, man, you need the shape of them. Those are called tail hooks. I don't know if the bait shop's still open, but if you go through Algonac past the boardwalk, there's a bait shop on the right down a little bit past the boardwalk. Minix, maybe it was called. I'm not 100% sure on the name. He used to sell them hooks for 25 cents a piece. So if you need more of them, that's where I was getting them.
Yeah, I definitely got to find more of those, because those are definitely nice hooks. I mean, the helmet they set with no problem.
Yeah, I think I might have ordered them, too, from Amazon or somewhere else. I still got quite a few of them. I'll have to look at my tackle box. You need more, a whole bunch of them. I just don't remember if I got a bunch left or if I was getting low and needed to make another order. But anyway, no, that's cool, man. You get a big one, you guys are going to be shocked if you thought that's pretty good. Wait till you get one of those bigger ones, man. You'll be fighting for about 10 or 15 minutes.
I'll be back. We might have another one here. I got to check the tape.
You let her allow boat again. WACCC.
Now we might have some fish. I gotta check some baits. I'll be right back.
All right, I'm gonna hang out until you answer me and let me know what you got, and then I'm probably gonna go to sleep. But I'll wait for you to come back to WACCC.
All right, KEATFM, another sheep head.
All right, you're definitely in an active spot. That's for sure. All right, I'll probably be awake for a little bit, dozing off. I'll keep checking my phone, but I'm going to try to get some sleep. I was looking at the weather, and it might be okay tomorrow night. I'll have to wait till tomorrow and see, but I don't know what you're doing, but yeah, I definitely want to get out there with these. If I wasn't so tired, man, I've been sitting here the whole time thinking, man, I probably could have made it, but I don't know if I would have been able to drive back. But anyway, we'll get out one of these days.
Yeah, if the weather's good tomorrow, I could easily get talked into going out again, especially after the success here tonight. All right. Yeah, we still got them jumping next to us. We had a big one, again, just surfaced, so we're gonna wait until this last dozen worms are gone, and then we're going to call it probably about another hour. So. All right, man. Take it easy. KE8. EFM.
All right, I'll keep an eye on my phone until I doze off. Send me a picture if you get another one. Good job, guys. I'll catch you later. WACCC.
Good morning. 0100 hours. Mostly cloudy. 68 degrees. Good morning. 0200 hours. Mostly clear. 66 degrees. Good morning. 0300 hours. Partly cloudy. 65 degrees. Good morning. 0400 hours. Clear. 65 degrees. Good morning. 0500 hours. Clear. 64 degrees. Good morning. 0600 hours. Mostly clear. 64 degrees. Good morning. 0700 hours. Mostly sunny. 63 degrees. Good morning. 0800 hours. Partly sunny. 66 degrees.
KSAPTI testing.
Good morning. 0900 hours. Partly sunny. 69 degrees.
W1KAL listening.
Good morning. 1000 hours. Mostly sunny. 73 degrees. Good morning. 1100 hours. Partly sunny. 75 degrees.
W8NSP mobile.
KBB.
Good afternoon. 1200 hours. Partly sunny. 77 degrees. Good afternoon. 1300 hours. Sunny. 80 degrees.
W8CPT KF8S.
Whiskey 8 Golf India Oscar.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Partly sunny. 80 degrees.
KE8MCH mobile.
Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Partly sunny. 82 degrees.
KSAPTI monitoring.
Monitoring.
KFA BPI, KKF 6J.
This is KFA BPI. Go ahead, KKF 6J.
Yeah, your modulation seems a bit down. I'm not sure what we got going on here. I'm on an external now. Should be a lot better, but you know, I think that repeater that you're working with is on a pretty high tower and is closer to you.
Is that the repeater?
Yeah, you're really way down. You're hardly making it through the repeater there.
Okay, that actually makes sense because I'm actually really far away from the repeater compared to you. I'm up in Carroll right now.
Let's try that one. This is KK6J, clear.
CFA DOT monitoring.
UHF hub, disconnected. Good afternoon, 1700 hours. Cloudy, 77 degrees. Good evening, 1800 hours. Mostly cloudy, 79 degrees. UHF hub, connected to Flynn 600. UHF hub, connected to FBI hub. UHF hub, connected to node 53696. Mount Holy remote, disconnected.
DLX monitoring.
Good evening, 1900 hours. Mostly cloudy. 77 degrees.
Unbelievable.
Good evening, 2000 hours. Mostly sunny. 75 degrees. Good evening, 21 hours. Mostly sunny. 73 degrees.
Thank you.
Good evening, 22 hours. Mostly clear. 71 degrees. Good evening, 23 hours. Mostly clear. 69 degrees.
Hey, ATP.
Got you out, up and about so late.
I am just enjoying the last nip of some proper 12 after a long and busy day and getting ready for a busy week. Sitting outside and enjoying the outside.
There you go. Sounds like a good plan. So I take it the rain hasn't started. I heard there's going to be rain.
I have not looked. It's not here. I have not looked at the radar. It's about, I would say, 60% clear and 40% cloudy here. And certainly not enough definition of clouds for rain. So, nope. No rain. Not much wind of it to speak of at all. It's about dead still here.
Well, I don't know if my news of rain was a reliable source or not, so, but I decided to cut the grass because of it, just in case. Anywho, I was going to hit the bed pretty soon, but I might get a nip myself, no proper 12, but who knows what awaits.
Well, there was just a very small amount of the Jameson triple left in the bottle. So that got taken care of earlier in the evening, and I was about done. And I thought, it's nice out here, I got time for a little bit more, so I went to the proper 12. Just as half a nightcap, you know.
All right, well, a couple of fingers of 1792 is on the rocks, because that was fast and easy.
My, that was very fast. Anyway, busy day. Visited Mom this morning, and had a client appointment around noon, and then had a little social thing at the house here this afternoon, early evening. And then a little bit of work after that, catching up on some stuff today. And got out here a little late, but it's really nice out here. It's cool. Got a little fan going on the patio here just to kind of keep the bugs down a little. It's really nice out. So if it is raining, or if it is going to rain, you know, so be it, but it's nice so far.
Nice now, that's what counts. What else happened? Anything? You haven't heard a whole lot from anybody this weekend. So, it was kind of quiet around here. You know, there was not much radio-wise going on. Wasn't there a RIDI contest, I think?
Yeah, so Saturday was the North American QSO Party RIDI. So that's, all domestic stuff, U.S., Canada, limited to low power. But that's a pretty busy contest. So that was yesterday. And then I guess this weekend, yesterday and some of today, was the CQ Worldwide VHF. So it's just 6 meters and 2 meters. And my understanding was that was kind of a bust. A number of people I know, got on for some time yesterday and today on 6 and 2 meters and basically said, yeah, I worked. 3 guys, 10 guys, 12 guys, 4 guys, with very little, if any, enhanced propagation, and not a lot of activity on CW and sideband. So That was kind of a bust. Some of those, a lot of the VHF concepts have just turned into FT8 events and not much else.
That is sad. I don't begrudge FT8. I'm not a hater, but when that's the only place there's activity at the expense of everything else, it's like, man, something's got to change there.
I don't disagree. While I'm not an FT8 enthusiast myself, you know, the reality is that works really well on you know, the weak signal VHF and UHF stuff. So it is popular there for a reason. And the VHF contests, the ARRL ones and the CQ ones and various other ones, you know, for years and years. You know, the rules, you know, you can make QSO, you know, per station, you know, one per band. And any mode went, you could do it on sideband, you could do it on CW, you could do it on RIDI. It didn't really matter, as long as you make contact on that band. And then with the advent of PSK31 and then eventually FT8, particularly with FT8's ease of getting grid square into the QSO, you know, it kind of became the de facto standard. So, you know, the ARRL contests have made a analog-only category, you know, for CW sideband only. And that attracts a handful of people, but not really enough to make it a, you know, it's not enough of those stations to work each other to really make it fun. And CQ has apparently not done that, so it's still any mode goes, which is, you know, by default FT8. So I was not able to get on. Again, busy weekend. So maybe next year.
Man, I had a little coughing spell there. Yeah. Anyhow. Well, no radio here. Didn't turn on any of the rigs. The 705 was on for a little bit, but it was not doing a whole lot. I got antenna work I got to do. I thought about doing that today. Instead, I cut the grass, so I was responsible.
I should cut the grass soon. Probably would not need to do it today or yesterday, so I've still got a few days to go. And if it's going to be nice, maybe tomorrow evening or the next, I'll get to it. Yeah, today would have been a good day for antenna work. Nice and warm and clear and anyway. But you know, you get an extra few dB when you put that antenna up in a snowstorm or you know, with a thunderstorm coming and you're racing against time. Always get an extra couple dB out of that antenna.
Yep, I still gotta get the fan dipole down and get those spreaders on there. You know, it works pretty well on 80 and 40, and it's acceptable on 20, but like I told you, it's got that funky kind of thing going on because I think I got some wrapped legs, which the spreaders would take care of, so I really mean to do that. That should be high on my agenda. I think I'll put that on my agenda of things to do, so... Anywho, 792 is a good idea. Good thinking.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good time to do it. I've not been on HF a ton. Checked into Logbook of the World a few times here and there, but now that it's back up and there's a few things trickling in, and obviously I had a handful of good 6-meter stuff that I added in. But I haven't checked in several days to see if anything else has trickled in. A lot to do that. But yeah, busy work day tomorrow. And kind of the next day, too. We'll see what... I don't recall if I have anything on the calendar for Wednesday. I like to try to take Wednesday off if I can. If there's a day during the week that I can get off and not go in the office and just kind of chill and check my email just a couple times a day. Wednesday tends to be that day. We'll see if that happens this week.
Hey, on another note, something came up at breakfast yesterday. Do you remember Paul, AA8OZ? I know you get on CW and that quite a bit. Have you heard of him passing?
I've not. I do remember Paul. I did not know him well, but I knew of him. No, if that's true, I'm sad, but no, I'm not aware of that.
No one seemed to know for sure. They said his license expired and didn't get renewed, and no one's gotten a hold of him, so they're kind of wondering. So, I know he did mostly QRP, CW. That was his big thing. Did a lot of it, so I figured you'd have bounced into him a few times, but anywho, I just wondering if anybody'd heard anything. It was a topic of discussion.
No, I do not recall. I think I ran into him a few times. I remember his old call was KAKDE. He had that call for many years, and then he was, of course, A8OZ, which he was for many, many years also. But I don't know. I know he lived in Ferndale for the longest time. I don't know if he moved, what his most recent status was, but hope he's okay. And if not, well, again, that's sad, but nope, not aware.
Yeah, I'm looking at his QRZ page now. KAKDE previous. I thought he was EOD, Elephants on Drugs. I remember hearing that. Maybe that was somebody else. Anyhow, it says his license expired in February 22nd, 2024. So, it's long enough ago that makes you wonder. So, all right, anyhow, that was all. Enough on that. Did you hear anything?
I will keep an ear out. I recall that he was semi-regular on the CRS net on 75 meters in the mornings, and I have not paid much attention to that in a couple of years, but I don't know if any of those guys are breakfast guys, but they may love him or be aware of his situation. But yep, that's fine. Hopefully he's okay, and if not, I understand. I had a burning question. I forgot it was, darn it. It's something to do with spreaders. I think I remember what it was.
Do tell.
So as I recall, the spreaders that you got, that you had printed for you, were closed loop, so they had to slip on the wire, and then you did something with it. And I was thinking in my head about a variation of that that had, kind of a couple of gaps or slits cut in, so that you could add them on after the fact. You wouldn't have to slip them over the wire. You wouldn't have to slip them on the end of the wire. You could slip them, on a pre-existing, pre-installed antenna. Kind of fashioning it back and forth a little bit. Again, in my head, I kind of have it designed, but I was wondering if that was something that could be discussed. I wouldn't mind adding some spreaders to one antenna I have and another, but flipping over the ends is going to be inconvenient, and if it was something that could be printed that could be a slightly different design that would allow you to add them on after the fact, be kind of interested in that.
Yeah, the ones that I've got are going to be difficult for that reason, and there'd be no reason why you couldn't, I don't know how much that would spread if you were to just cut a slit in them. A little material would be gone too, but if you were to just cut them, would you be able to spread them enough to snap them over the wire? Now, if you were to make two cuts and make a little relief, you certainly could, and then, use something like a small tie wrap to steer them. You could do something like that. I'm sure it'd be easy enough to do, even if you had to, you know, if you had a, especially if you had like a bandsaw, you know, you could just lay them on the surface and just kind of go, you know, and just cut a little slit in the end.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, kind of slit, you know, kind of slit from, say, the top, if you were orienting the thing from the, you know, up and down, you know, kind of slit part through the top, and then, so you'd have, like, two loops at that point, and on the left loop, you'd cut a little slot on one side, and on the other one, you'd go around the other side and cut a little slot on the other side, so you'd have to, you know, kind of purposefully work it back and forth a little bit to slip it on the wire, but then once it was hanging there, it'd be like nearly impossible for it to unslip itself, undo itself, if that makes sense. Again, in my head, that was kind of how I was thinking something like that could be either modify that or just, you know, think it that way, you know, for a future one or something.
Well, one of the suggestions I saw for spreaders, utilize this plumber's plastic tubing. I forget what it's called. It's got a name. And they use short lengths of this plastic tubing plumbers use. And sufficiently rigid to do the job without getting into, you know, the diameters of PVC pipe. You know, it's much, much smaller diameter. You know, with something like that, you know, with just about anything, you know, you could just literally drill a hole and, you know, in the center, you know, the center ones, the ones that are between the ends would have to have two holes, right? But the end ones would just have to have one hole, and then you could use tie wraps, you know, little baby tie wraps. That would be a way to do it, too, and you wouldn't have to have anything fabricated at all, but you'd have to cut them all, you know, and then drill the holes, so having a little drill press would be real handy.
Yeah, there's a bunch of different ways to, I thought about that, too. Yeah, a little PVC or the plumber's pipe, you know, either PEX, you know, the red or the blue or the whatever. That would be fine. It would be easily malleable. It's really lightweight. It would be strong enough to, you know, just kind of hold a little piece of wire in place. And a quick little tie wrap would just, you know, one on one side and one on the other would just keep it from sliding around, which is all you need. I was just thinking of something as elegant and sophisticated as the spacers that you have are for real kind of nice.
PEX, that's what I was looking for. I couldn't remember the name. Yeah, I saw somebody else that was using PEX. And that's actually what I was going to do, but then I saw those other ones and Baby and had them printed up for me. So, and I have yet to get them up here. It's terrible. We had that warm stretch. Remember back in February, we had this unseasonably warm weather? And I got the antenna down and did a bunch of work on it, got it up and all that. And I haven't done anything since. So I was going to do it this weekend. But then again, I lost all of March and April, you know, to repeater projects. Every Saturday and Sunday I was out doing work on this. So, you know, I lost a couple of months of any free time I had for radio was burn up on that. So, it's not like I wasn't doing anything. Yep, should have done it today. Should have brought it down. My plan was to bring it down, get it all stretched out, measured, you know, measure it off, and, you know, get everything back up in the air, all fanned out and all that good stuff. In the end, I don't even know if I needed the 20, 80 and 40 was a really good goal. 20 was like, you know, why not? In the end, I really don't know if that was the wise choice. That might cut that one a little shorter, make it ideal for 17. That might be something I want to do. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say the 80, 40, 20 is a good combo. I think if you force feed that on 17 meters, it's the 80 meter dipole that's you know, doing the work there. I think there's a quasi-natural resonance there, you know, with the funky pattern. But I would not discount the 20 meters. But if you help me just an extra set of hands or something, a nice day, I might be able to pop by and help out, and I'd be happy to do so. Get the spreaders on there, get things measured, and get it back up. I know it's hard to get excited about HF in the middle of summer when everything's noisy. But summer doesn't last forever.
Yep, and you get it up now for later, for the winter months. I want a loop, I really do, but I got to get some supports up. I'm not big on the whole idea of trees. My trees are all funky. If I had some good solid ones, you know, I'd probably consider it. And I know my neighbor would let me go in their trees. Boy, I'll tell you what, I could put up a 160 loop with their trees outside of my yard, you know, because, you know, then he'd be talking, I'd have at least 200 in every direction.
That's a lot of wire, a lot of antenna. Yeah, that would be very cool if you could do that. And happy to try to help if you get that conversation going, that'd be a fun one to do.
I forget, what do you need for a loop on 160? Is it 4 something? Or is it 5? I think it's 4 something, isn't it?
Just under 5. It's about 480. So figure 120, which is approximately, I think it might be just slightly less than that. But yeah, figure 120 aside, give or take. Probably take a little. That's basically an 80-meter dipole. So 66 on the side is a full-width 80-meter loop. So 125, 130 aside is a 160 full-width. That's a lot of wire.
Hell, I could do that without the neighbor. But the neighbor's got the cool trees in the perfect position. So that's the reason I go up into their trees. It's just because of the position, how big they are. So, but that's dreaming. I have been collecting TV tower. Whenever I find like cheap TV tower, cheap or free, I grab it. And I wouldn't mind getting 30 foot of it up in a couple of different key points halfway back in the woods. You know, maybe 10 foot of mast sticking out of it. Just, you know, I figure 40 is the magic number. If I could get an 80 meter loop up at 40 foot all the way around, I think that'd play pretty well.
That would probably be pretty well. I remember there were some contest guys that had done some math on, you know, the what's the best sweepstakes antenna, you know, an antenna that's going to give you the best domestic pattern. And they concluded on 80 meters that a full-size dipole, you know, half-wave dipole, hanging about 30, 40 feet, it was the best sweepstakes antenna because it basically had a pattern that was about the shape of a light bulb. You know, it's kind of up and out every direction. It was low enough where you got performance off the end, and it was you know, high enough where you still had kind of a sort of a lobe on the off the broadside. And you know, like, the idea was that, you know, you'd have a good enough pattern, you know, from the East Coast to the Rockies. And that was the goal. In a full size 80 meter dipole, you know, hanging about 35 to 40 feet was the answer to that. Oriented just about any direction, it didn't really matter. And that's kind of right. Mine's up a little higher than that, but for the most part, it's not really high enough to have a great pattern. And I'm real happy with its performance. It works where it needs to. It's loud where it needs to be, which is kind of like straight up and everywhere else.
Yep, well, I'm going to have to get on something, that's for sure. On another note, I've got Thursday off. I've got some doctor appointments I've got to dance around. But Thursdays off, maybe game for COFEF or lunch or something, who knows. Have to work around a couple of doctor's appointments. Also, we'll have to do the breakfast thing out your guys' way again. That was okay. I could see us doing something like that. So we talked about that in the past. We should do that more regularly. So maybe this weekend. This weekend we were back over here. Maybe next weekend we alternate. Go up there somewhere.
Yep, I'm game if I can be. Saturdays and Sundays for sure. I know that's kind of an odd day for early breakfast, but I can probably usually do Saturday, especially if it's on the early side. The ones I use is not bad. I can get there. It's just a matter of what am I doing afterwards. The one here was just nice and convenient, especially to get to Steve there, too. WAFU, K8DB.
WAFU. Yep, no, there's a lot out that way, and I'm not particularly, this place here, it's close, convenient, and they can accommodate the crowd, but there's a lot out that way that I wouldn't mind trying to, so. Oh, man. So, definitely be interested in doing that some more. And then somebody's got to pick him up with his eye thing going on, so. Nice to keep it out that way, so any one of us could do that, not put the burden just on you, for instance. But I'm good with Sundays. I mean, I know Steve's up early. I'm up early. You say early's good, and Sundays, no big deal for me. I'm up just as early on Sunday as I am on any other day, so that could work too. But I am going to get out of here before it becomes midnight. I regret being up.
Yeah, Sunday's an option. And I'm very happy to help out as far as I got up dropping off. All right, yeah, I should get inside too. I wrap up out here and head in and see what there is to do before heading to bed. Again, busy day tomorrow. But nice chatting. And get that HF antenna going. We'll get out there, we'll get the dipole down and spreaders installed and tuned up, and you'll be nice and loud. WAFU, K8DB.
Need an excuse to turn the damn radio on. Alright, catch you later. K8BB from WAFU.